This morning, I want to share the word around, especially with everything that's been happening in the world. I just want to share the word around the fact that God is sovereign, always been sovereign, and still is. And I just want to share a few thoughts around that theme this morning. So just let us pray before we start, and we're going to be looking into the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. So if you want to go there, that'd be great. So, thank you, Lord. Father God, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. I just pray for each and every person watching this telecast this morning, Lord. I pray that right where they are, whether it's in their lounge rooms, Lord, in their office, down at the river, Father God, wherever it may be, I thank you, Lord, that you just reach out to each and every person, and by your Holy Spirit, Father God, Lord, you touch their hearts, you touch their soul, you touch their minds, Father God. Lord, that your peace would rest upon them, Father God. Lord, your joy would just rise up within them, Father God. Lord, and that assurance of hope, Lord, that only can come from you, Father God. Lord, I just thank you this morning as they hear your word, Father God. Lord, I just praise you and thank you, Lord. Lord, that your presence is with everyone this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, just want to share out of the book of Habakkuk this morning. So, just in relation to the book of Habakkuk, among the prophetic writings, Habakkuk is what is somewhat unique in that it includes no message addressed to Israel itself. In the first two chapters, Habakkuk argues with God over God's ways, which appear to him unfathomable, if not unjust. Having received replies from God, the first two chapters, then in the third chapter, Habakkuk rounds off with a beautiful confession of faith. The word sovereign, I've looked up the word sovereign to see what the English dictionary says about it. And the word sovereign says, it's one who exercises supreme permanent authority. Now, I would say that describes the God that we worship in the world today, that our God is supreme, he's a supreme permanent authority. Now, sometimes that is questioned by Christians, I guess, and those who worship God, or those of us who worship God as Christians. And it's happening right throughout the ages, because back when Habakkuk was the prophet for Judah, he had the same questions, and he questioned God. He's the actual heading in my NIV study Bible says that it's titled Habakkuk's Complaint. So I just want to read the verses 2, 3, and 4. And this is Habakkuk's complaint. He's crying out to God. And then I just want to break those up a bit, or break them down a bit. This is Habakkuk. He says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen, or cry to you violence. But you do not say, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." And this was Habakkuk's complaint here. He comes before God and he says, "God, why are all these things happening? Why don't you listen to my prayer? Why is there all this injustice in the world? And basically, your word, your law is paralyzed. It's not doing anything." And Habakkuk complains to God about this. And, you know, I don't think we differ at all from Habakkuk's complaint. We are still the same today in verse 2, where he says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help?" So this is Habakkuk's prayer to God, you know. And our questions to God today might be, "God, are you really hearing my prayers? You know, do you really hear my prayers? Or what's the point of praying? I've been praying for this particular thing for ages and nothing has changed. And we can become frustrated in these areas. Or I prayed for this illness to leave or that illness to leave. But it's still here, God. You know, what is happening? And Habakkuk was no different. All those years ago, he was no different. He was questioning God about the prayers that he prayed. And my question to you this morning is God still sovereign despite this? Is he still the supreme authority despite this? Verse 3, he goes on to say, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. All this evil is taking place in the world, and you appear to be doing nothing about it, God. What is going on? What is happening? Why are you allowing this to happen? The strong overpower the weak, he might be asking. You know, the strong overpower the weak. People who lie and cheat seem to be prosperous. Immorality on all levels is thriving and growing with the continual lust for more. What is happening, God? Why is this happening if you're sovereign? Why is this happening? Why is this taking place? There are despots or dictators in the world today that even some of you watching this morning have had to live under and endure their evil regimes. You know, as men have taken over countries and seen them go from riches to rags over a number of years, and to run a country into the ground, and you would understand someone in a country that has happened to, you would understand them saying, God, what is going on? Why are you allowing this to happen? And again, my question is God sovereign in spite of this? And verse 4, therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. This is what Habakkuk's saying to God. You know, the law is paralyzed. In other words, your word, which is what he was referring to, is paralyzed. It has no effect. It can't move anything. And justice never prevails. It always seems to be injustice. The wicked hem in the righteous. It's the wicked who are gaining ground. It's the wicked who are prospering. So that justice is perverted. Habakkuk even doubts the truth of God's word here when he says the law is paralyzed. God's word clearly says one thing as the world moves in the exact opposite direction. God says go that way, the world goes that way. God says go that way, the world goes that way. God says go up, the world goes down. It seems to be the complete opposite. As many parts of the world continue to move towards extreme doctrines, I guess, the word of God is becoming more offensive. That they don't want it in the schools anymore. They don't want it in public places anymore. There are certain people that want to remove it from the government. Because the word of God is becoming offensive. And as media outlets across the globe push their political agenda, they never let the truth get in the way of the bias or bent they are pushing. And, many people get their information from these, biased media outlets. So, we need to be careful. We need to stick to the word of God and know the truth. And again, in spite of all this, my question is, in spite of all this wrongdoing that's happening in the world, is God still sovereign? Does God still sit on the throne? And that was Habakkuk's question to God. And God says to Habakkuk in verse 5, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. And I believe that God is still sovereign. And I know you do too. But I believe God is doing something amazing in the world today that if we were to know and understand what it was, we would be amazed. We would be perplexed if we were told. It's the same today as it was back then. God is still sovereign. And the question, does all that is happening in the world we live in today thwart the plans and purpose of God? Not in the slightest does anything that happens have any bearing, change in any way, or alter God's plan, God's overall plans. Whether they be despot dictators who rule over a country and oppress an entire nation, or individuals that make mine and your life miserable, God's plans are not thwarted. These things will not and cannot alter the course or direction that God is headed in any way, shape, or form. I heard a quote the other day that went something like this. Even things that are calculated against God's people, you know, plans that are calculated against God's people, cannot bring his plans and purposes unstuck. That's the nature of God's sovereignty, first and foremost, because it works despite all things good and evil, even the dreaded coronavirus. I'm only going to mention it once. A false notion of sovereignty could be this: trusting a sovereign, loving God to grant us whatever good we think we need to experience the joy in following Jesus. And I think that's it. It's the notion we have of God's sovereignty. And I heard Martin Isles give a couple of examples the other day, and I thought they were great, and I thought they were worth mentioning again in relation to sovereignty and where we might, God's sovereignty, and where we might get things mixed up. And the first one is, and I think we need to understand this, is that God's sovereignty is not determined by your personal comfort. Many Christians in the world today would have you believe, come to Jesus and all your troubles will be over. You know, sugar and spice and all things nice. You know, coming to Jesus is the best decision I've ever made. But the journey has been a long one, and not always sugar and spice and all things nice. God is more interested in your personal character, in shaping and forging your personal character, than your personal comfort. Personal character is shaped as we journey through life. Sometimes the shaping comes from lessons in an air-conditioned classroom via a teacher that is loving and caring. At other times, this shaping is forged in a furnace of fire by an enemy that despises you. And you know, probably more times than not, our character is shaped in the furnace rather than in the air-conditioned classroom. And what we need to remember is those same hands that like the potter's clay that were moulding and shaping us in the classroom, those same hands have us in the fiery furnace, moulding us, shaping us, and holding us up. Those same hands have us. Jesus was the ultimate example of this because if we want the glory, we first must endure the cross. Jesus, before the glory, he had to endure the cross. His death, which was carried out by those who meant harm and evil, only for God to turn it around and use it to bring eternal life to all who believe. So God's sovereignty is not determined by your personal comfort. And God's justice, why do bad things happen to this person and not that person? Why does this person prosper and this person doesn't? Why? Why, God? Why is it your justice unfolding? As we witness all the things wrong in the world today, many shake their fists at God and declare, if God is just, why does he allow this to happen? Whether it be from a personal perspective or on a global scale, why does he allow this to happen? A relative once said to me, if your God is real, that God you worship every Sunday and talk about, why doesn't he stop all these bad things from happening in the world? Why doesn't he stop all the bad things from happening in the world? And my response was, if God was to do this, it would be done according to his standard of what is good and evil, what is right and wrong, which would mean bad news for you and bad news for me, because I know I wouldn't cut the mustard. A quote I heard the other day, which is quite in your face, but it kind of describes what I was just talking about and the question my relative asked me, and it was, if you're going to call the garbage collector, you'd better first climb out of the wheelie bin. Which, as I said, it's quite in your face, but it sort of describes about God's justice. We want to receive God's grace, not his justice, especially without Jesus Christ. Another perspective is Joseph. Let's look at all that happened to Joseph, just quickly. Rejected and sold as a slave by his brothers, rejected by his family. His father thinks he's been torn apart by wild beasts, taken to a foreign land as a slave, rejected by his slave master because of lies and deception, thrown into prison and forgotten about. Now, you would think that a man like Joseph, an upright man, a man of integrity, a man who served God with, from what I can gather, all his heart, you would think, why is this happening to this man? But through all this, God raises him up to the second highest office in the land to rule over the nation of Egypt, which led to the saving of his family and many people, and he brought them out of the famine. And Israel would again be risen up in Egypt. Joseph's answer to his brothers when they apologized to him in Genesis 50 verse 20 says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many, many lives." Why? Because God is sovereign. Amen. God is sovereign. He rules. He sits on the throne. The ultimate example is Jesus. Jesus came to defeat man's greatest enemy, which was death. But as the story unfolds, and Jesus hangs there on the cross, beaten, battered, and bruised beyond recognition, he lets out his final breath, and he gives up his spirit. And death at this point seems to have won. Death seems to have won. But because God is sovereign, his plans are never thwarted by acts of evil. 3 days later, we know the story, Easter is coming up. 3 days later, the trumpet sounds, I can hear it. There's a thunderous roar from on high that shakes the very foundations of heaven. As God's greatest plan becomes a reality, when Jesus conquers death and hell and rises from the dead to offer salvation to all who call on his name. God's unaltered, unchangeable, sovereign plan throughout the scriptures, from the first page of Genesis through until the last page of Revelation, and everywhere in between, has always pointed toward salvation for all through his Son, Jesus Christ. During communion this morning, I spoke about God's promise of giving everyone who called on his name a new spirit and a new heart. To many of you watching this morning, I believe God has spoken to you. He's spoken to your heart. He's spoken into your spirit and wants to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus into your life. I want to lead you in a simple prayer this morning. This may be the first time you have ever asked Jesus to come into your life, or it may even be a recommitment. Regardless, I would like to lead all who are watching in a prayer right now. So I just want you to focus on God. Close your eyes. You're not saying this to me. You're saying this to God. And just repeat this prayer after me to God. Close your eyes and just repeat after me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death, and to restore me to Father God. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I choose now to turn from my sins. I receive your forgiveness. And I declare you now to be Lord and Savior of my life. Come, fill me with your Spirit and give me a new heart. Jesus, come and live in me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you need prayer this morning for healing, either from a physical, mental, or spiritual perspective, I'm going to pray right now. If you're with someone who is reaching out for healing and it's okay with them, I'll just ask you to lay hands on them as we pray this morning. And I just want you to reach out to God right where you are and receive the healing that He has for you. Let's close our eyes. Father God, it is through your power that we were created. Every breath we take, every morning we wake up, and every moment of every hour, we live by your power and strength. Father, I ask you now to touch each person this morning with that same power. Lord, touch each person right where they are, right where they need healing, Father. I ask you now to touch each person, Lord. Heal what is broken in them. I thank you for your healing power to touch each person right now in their lounge rooms, in their office, Father God. Lord, wherever they may be, I ask for your power, that you would touch them with your power in either their body, soul, or spirit, Father God, or all three, to make new any unhealthy areas so that they will function in the way you created them to function. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer of salvation for the first time, or you have a testimony in relation to a healing, please let us know or contact the number on the Narendra CRC church page, because we'd love to talk to you. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. Have a blessed week and stay safe. God bless you all. Amen.